Hey, welcome. It's wonderful going into the summer months, and I appreciate you coming to church today. And we're going to have a celebration here in a few minutes. We've been going through our penny wars. If you're listening online, we've been fighting it out for the last number of weeks. Today is the day of reckoning. What a great fitting time to have a day of reckoning and a big fight in Memorial Day weekend, right? Freedom is today for your pastor. Freedom is today. I have listened for weeks and weeks and weeks how she was going to shove a pie up my nose. And if you're listening online, we've been fighting this fight of raising money for a Calvary Kids ministry, and pennies were worth a point, and silver, anything silver dropped in jars was minus those points. I don't know what the final count was. I don't follow these kind of things, but I just know I didn't lose. I know that my wife had somewhere around negative $17,000. That's $170 if you're keeping track. I know. It was all for a great cause. It'll be a better cause here at 12 o'clock when the kids come back in and start setting up to celebrate victory at Calvary today. But I've been preaching a sermon series called Living a Better Story. The reason we get to live a better story, which is the Christian life, is because there is a sacrifice made for you and I. The reason you get to live in a free country today and live a better story here in the United States is because somebody sacrificed a life for you. The reason you get eternal life today, spend life eternal with Jesus Christ in heaven, if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, is because he came to earth in the natural, hung on a cross, gave up his life in sacrificial giving to you and I as an entranceway into the kingdom of God for a better life. Somebody had to die for us to be free today. Somebody had to die in the natural for us to sit here today and have a better story. Somebody had to die a natural death on the cross for us to have life eternal and spiritual. But there is a sacrifice to live a better story. We get to live this better story because of a sacrifice that was given for us. And we've been going through this sermon series. We talked about week one, what was the story? What are we living? Week two was, what is actually living the better story, but how do I do it? Nicole preached on Mother's Day and gave the perfect example of mighty women living better stories. Last week, I talked about why do you even want to live this better story? Today, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes before the kids come in about some hindrances in our personal lives that kind of preclude us from living the ultimate best story that we could possibly live. And it's not going to be what you think. It's not going to be, you know, well, you got to have faith. Yes, you have to have faith. And we know that. We've heard that for years. And if you've been in the church, it's not going to be sin in your life keeps you from living the better story. We know that. Those are kind of what I call the givens. You know, you've got to have faith and you've got to not have sin in your life. But there's some specific things I want to talk to you today about. And then the biggest teaching lesson will happen at noon when the kids come back in and we get to teach how to throw pies in God's house. But I want to go through just a few short points of what hinders me and hinders you from living this better story. A couple of these you'll say, oh yeah, I know that. I've heard that before. But there's going to be a few that you're going to say, wow. One in particular will make you kind of give the wow factor because it's going to be something that's going to really make you think a little bit. And I'm going to go through just a few short points today. You'll get a bonus today. I won't be able to preach for as long as I normally get to preach. But the real preaching will... And he's on my worship team. Speaking of saying amen, let's talk with the first one. Disobedience to the pastor. And... Oh, it was my son. Oh, I thought it was a worship team. Well, that's worse. That's even worse. Train up a child the way that they should go. When they were old, they will bash the pastor. That was my kid. Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. He just got a house right around the corner. There's lots of lawn mowing to do. And then I hear amen from Denny in the back, right? disobedience to God's word. What precludes me from living the better story? What hinders my ability to do that? What keeps me from exercising the ability to live a better story, a better Christian life? My disobedience to God. Pastor, that's not me. I'm always obedient to God. We're not always obedient to heaven. We're not always obedient to God. Let's go through a few scriptures. Isaiah 1:19 starts us. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. Jeez, all we have to do is be obedient to be successful. That's easy to do. All I have to do is just be obedient to God's word, and I will have great land, great life, better living, living a better life, the Christian life. That's easy. I can do that. Why don't we? We don't always. Listen to what James says, 1:25 says, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they'll be blessed. Every Sunday, I preach the word pretty much. Every Sunday, the worship team gives you the word. Every Sunday, you hear classes. Every Wednesday, we come in and we talk about. Every time we meet, we're talking Jesus. All we have to do is listen intently and exercise that obedience in our lives to get exactly the better story. You think of in the Bible, all the people that did exactly that. Favor fell upon them because they were obedient. Just stop and think about the people you know in the Bible. I'm not going to list them. There's too many to list. Just think about time after time, the obedience of the people in the Bible. And what was the end result? Always, God gave favor in their lives. Well, Pastor, I know this one story where there is a favor, but then there is this. Sure, that's all of us. That happens, right? But without obedience, us being disobedient, we kind of know the end result. Obedience. God really listens intently to how we pray, listens intently of how we act, and watches what we do. Are we obedient? If he says to do this in the word, do we do it? If he says don't do this, do we don't do it? I would say that's not necessarily the case. Unfortunately, your first step in living the better story to keep you from being hindered is to be obedient. We've talked about that. Let me give you a couple of quick examples of disobedience. Romans 14:13. Therefore, let us not judge one another. I'll wait till we get to a couple other things here. Don't judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in your brother's way. You know, we live sometimes with this horizontal faith that we're looking to our left and to our right instead of vertical. We look at each other a lot of times and we say that old familiar saying, see, they do it. And that's the most spiritual person I know. But they do it. Look what they do. Instead of looking inward and saying, look what I am doing and how I'm being disobedient, the bare fact that we look at somebody else and we say, look at them, that's disobedience. And, you know, we don't think of it like that. We don't think that we're being disobedient when we look at somebody else and say, look what they're doing. That's disobedience. And it's human nature kind of to do that, right? The world tells us to make these comparisons. Everything we do in our lives is a comparison with somebody else. Jobs, school, it's like a contest, except if you grew up here in the last 20 years playing soccer or baseball or football in throughout the land, you got trophy for everything. It was like even playing field. And we found out that that didn't work so well. It didn't teach our children much. It taught them it was okay to be slacking a little bit because they got something anyways, right? It didn't really teach them a whole lot. I didn't like it as a parent. My kids all got trophies because they showed up. You're supposed to show up. That's why you're on the team. 1 Corinthians 8:12 says, "And so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ." I mean, I influence you, and you influence me. If you cause me to fall or I cause you to fall, if I hinder your ability to live the better story, I'm being disobedient. If God calls you to get a pie in the face and you decline, you're being disobedient.
Thus saith the Lord and the pastor.
Galatians 5:7 says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" You were doing so good. The Bible says, but somebody came along and kept you from moving forward. Disobedience. Somebody adversely affected your ability to move forward. I tell you, church, that is not something you want to answer heaven for. Being the person that pulled somebody back away from the truth is not what you want to be recognized for. So, pastor, how do we be obedient? Besides taking the pie in your face, be obedient. That is obedience. Psalms 119:9 says, "How can I keep this man in his pure ways? By keeping according to your word." So here we have the blueprint, the guideline of everything we need to do. The question the pastor has is, why aren't we doing it all the time? Why do we look at some things and say, I can follow that, but goodness, I can't do this. It's impossible for me to do that. We pick and choose exactly what we want to do. We pick and choose what we want to obey and what we don't. And I believe God sits up there and says, okay, if you're going to do it this way, then this is the result. If you would do it this way, this is the result, right? He keeps track. We have this guidebook. We have this plan. We have this all laid out in God's word. It says, just follow it just like this. And you'll inherit the land. Let's go to point two. This is the one that starts to get you. It's going to start kind of where the rubber meets the road type. Here's what we do. We try to replace God's word with prayer. We try to take the word and then pray something that's contrary to the word. And why do we do that? We do that because we don't know the word. We don't know the depth of the word sometimes, so we try to pray our way through, and then we wonder why we're not breaking through to a better life and we're being hindered. We're not living the better story. What's hindering that? I have prayed, Pastor. I have prayed. I have prayed. I have prayed. I can't tell you how many hours I prayed, Pastor. And I would say, wait a second. Those prayers are contrary to God's word. And then I would open up the word and say, well, look here. How could you pray something contrary to the word? I didn't know it was contrary. And that's just really, you know, you see those big moments with people where their eyes get really big and they say, wow, I didn't know that. And here's the saying that I use frequently. You don't know what you don't know. Dear, do I say that a lot? You don't know. I said to her the first week, dear, it's only the first week of this petty wars. I wouldn't be bragging and walking around the house like that. She scoffed and laughed at me. And she did, and she'll admit that. You don't know what you don't know. It's not over. And we don't know what we don't know. And when someone comes to you and says, I'm going to tell you something that you don't know, we take a different, I just had this happen this last week. I had this conversation over at Starbucks, as I frequently do. And there was a conversation with a gentleman who I highly respect, and he was explaining his position, and I said, well, that's, you know, we got into that. I knew I was preaching this message today. We got into this perfect discussion about, and I said to him, well, you don't know what you don't know. And he looked at me, what does that mean? He said, this is truth. I said, it's not, because you don't know what you don't know. And so I started showing him some things, and he said, wow, I had no idea. I said, of course you don't, because you didn't know what you didn't know. So that's why we want to stay open. As believers, we want to stay, but we can't go to God and pray something and have it contrary to his word. So my advice to you today to not hinder you from living the better story is just know the word better and know exactly what you're praying for. And make sure that what you're praying for is not contradicting God's word, right? Hosea 4:6, we've used this scripture before. It says, my people are destroyed for just not knowing, lack of knowledge. I just don't know. God didn't keep anything in secret to you. He gave you his word. And we could go to the word and look it up and say, okay, what does it say? Where should I be doing? How do I move forward in my living this better story? I'm going to get into the word. Number three, how do things that hinder us? Here's one for you. Comparison living hinders your better story. Comparison living. What exactly is, I alluded to that here in a second ago. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, we do not dare classify or compare ourselves with someone who's to commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're just not wise. We don't want to live horizontally, church. We don't want to compare our lives with somebody else. We don't want to say, I do this and live better if I do what they do, or whatever the case may be. No, that's not how it works. We don't do comparison living the better story. We don't look at our friends and family and neighbors and say, I can live a better Christian life if I do what they're doing. No, you can live a better Christian life if you do what the Lord thy God tells you to do. And you walk in passion, purpose, and you do it on your own in power. You walk there and live vertically and not horizontally and not look to your left and right and say, I could do exactly. It's like revivals in the past. You know, churches over the years start doing and replicating things that other churches did when they broke out in revival. I remember the great revival down in Pensacola, Florida, back years back for the Assemblies of God that swept throughout the nation and the world. And I remember churches started replicating that. You can't get God to come show up because you do comparison living. Why? Because God has something different for you today. Not what they did that he did for this person or that person. He has something for you, fresh and new. Every time you come into church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, he has something new and fresh for you. We talk all the time, don't live back the last week. We got something new for you today. That's comparison living. Here's a quote for you. It's not about competing or comparing yourself with others. It's focusing on your goals in light of your destiny. We just live this way to live that better story. And every time I start living this way and looking over here and looking over there, I find myself backing away from the story I should be living. It really messes me up. Number four, we lack being constant and consistent. If you want to live the better story, you've got to be constant and consistent. What does that mean? We change frequently and we don't maintain much of anything sometimes. God wants constant and consistent living. Does that mean he doesn't change you to go a different direction? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means when you focus on something and God gives you something, you got to be constant with it and consistent with it. I always watch and I see people say, God told me this. 3 weeks later, God's telling them something else. 2 weeks later, they tell me, well, God's moving me over here. That's not constant and consistent living. The Bible says God is a God of structure and order. That's what it says, right? We know that. That's what it says. God's not going to take you from here to there to there to there and keep changing you so you have no structure and order in your life. You could never even keep up with that. But we live like that sometimes, and that hinders my better story of my Christian life. Now, I'm a guy that kind of likes some change, probably a little bit more than most, as my wife would tell you. I do. She's misconsistent, and I'm a little entrepreneurial. I kind of like the change thing. So here God brings two people together, one to motivate one and one to pull back on one, right? God's a mad scientist. Think of the people in the Word that had to be constant and consistent. I could give you the list. Just think of Noah in Genesis 6. Constant and consistent. It's just a kid's story, right? There's not much meaning there. He didn't have to build anything and be constant and consistent. Yes, he did. Of course you know that. Abraham and Sarah and all the other stories, constant and consistent. Some are, some aren't. Some were, some weren't. Don't be that. Constant and consistent. And then you have those that are held in captivity for all that time. The Israelites in Egypt held in captivity for how many years? Year after year. Until one day, their story changed. What would have happened if they wouldn't have been constant and consistent? Well, Pastor, they're in captivity. What could they do? Well, when they got out, they got to another place, and they weren't being constant and consistent with their worship, and God made them wait longer. Worship me, the only God. And they wanted to change their story again. And so God said, well, hold on. You got to be constant and consistent with your worship of me. I'm just the one that broke you out of jail here just recently, and now you want to go in a different direction. That's us. That's us sometimes, right? That's me. That's you. Lack of being constant and consistent, changing from one thing to the next constantly, that will detract you from living the better story in your life. You can never settle into the story because you keep changing it. Weeks ago, we talked about the prodigal son who went out and kept changing his story. But guess what he did? When he kept changing his story, what happened? He came home to live a better story. Remember that story we talked about? But he changed his story many times, but he eventually got on the right path because the change of the story, he was not being constant and consistent. He could have just come on home, but he didn't want to face dad. But finally, he came home to live a constant, consistent story. He would have lived a constant, consistent, better story if he would never would have left. Right? Exactly. Here's another one for you. Complacency will keep you, hinder you from living a better story. Complacency is the mother of mediocrity. Complacent Christians make no serious attempt to improve continuously on their work. Amos 6:1 says, woe to you who are complacent in Zion. Listen to this parable in Luke 12, 16 through 20. You know this parable. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do now that I have such abundance? I have no place to store more crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down all these barns, build the bigger ones. I'll store all my surplus grain in them. And then I'll say to myself, I've got plenty of grain laid up for many years. Now it's time to take it easy. Now it's time to eat. Now it's time to drink. Now it's time to be merry. I've got no issue. I got no worries. But God said to him, you fool. This is the very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? See, we get so far wrong in our better story, we kind of hunker down and say, I don't need to do anything now. I got it. I got the better story. And us hunkering down on the better story, being complacent on our story, causes us to regress in the story. Because being complacent. Complacency is very, very dangerous, right? Very dangerous. I found myself at times in my Christian walk being complacent. And so have you. Because you get to the better story and you think you've arrived in your Christian walk. When your Christian walk should be ever evolving. I don't like to use that word, but you know what I mean. You understand, right? That you go from where you're at to where God wants you to be. And Paul wrote about pushing forward, but don't look behind. It's constant growth. Excuse me. It's a constant moving forward process. And I've said this before, if you're moving forward in your Christian walk and you stop, you're either advancing or you're dying. You're doing one or the other. But if you're not advancing, you're dying. Because once you stop, you're on the verge of going backwards. And that is spiritual death. Spiritual death. Let's go to point number 6 as we wind it up, because the kids are going to be coming in here in a couple minutes. The biggest teaching lesson of the day. Number 6 is rebellion to authority. Now, Pastor, why did you put that one in there? Well, going into a pie-throwing thing, it's just perfect. rebellion to authority, spiritual and secular authorities, because those in authority over us serve God. God has a complete blanket of coverage over this planet Earth, and God doesn't allow anything to happen that God doesn't want to happen. God is still in control. We may not understand what he does, but it doesn't mean he's not in control. Don't think for one second the God of heavens and the earth that sits outside of time and his creation doesn't control the created. He does. He takes dominion over it. He controls it. Romans 13, 1 through 2 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. You've read this, I'm sure, a million times. For there is no authority except which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God himself. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, who has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, my wife's not going to rebel against authority today, because I'm going to read one final scripture as the kids are setting up. It's in Ecclesiastes 12, 13. It says, now all have been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter of the day, and this is the conclusion of all things. For God, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. You know, we control our destiny. We control our story.